Well, walking over there by the basic forest was a policeman. And the policeman sees a man digging in the basic forest. And he wasn't the regular kind of man who goes digging over there. He looked like, you know, some suspicious character. What's he doing digging holes in the basic forest? It must mean he's some kind of a robber and he's looking to rob the graves. Now, of course, we Yidden have special halachas of how a person goes into the ground after 120 years. But l'havdil nit Yidden, sometimes they bury all kinds of stuff with a person because maybe they think he can take it with him to the next world. Of course, those are the people that don't realize you can't take it with you. But they say, I want stuff buried with me. And there are such robbers that go over there to rob in the basic forest. And so the policeman thought, this is a robber who robs in the basic forest. And he goes over there and he takes out his sword or his gun or whatever he had. And he says, you're under arrest because you're robbing in the graveyard. Come with me. We're going to the leader of the city, the mayor, who's also the judge, and he will sentence you to how much jail or punishments you deserve for doing such a terrible thing, robbing from the basic forest. No. I'm only looking for the bag of money that I put over here a long time ago. Oh, sir, you put a bag of money over here. That's a good story. Well, maybe you're going to go tell the judge and the mayor this story, and he'll have a good laugh. And now the policeman takes the poor beggar to the leader of the city, who is the mayor and also the head judge, a very important person in a very beautiful big office, in a very important building, on a very important street. Shh. And the policeman comes, and he brings the beggar in front of the mayor. And the mayor looks so important. And he says, this man has been caught in the basic forest digging holes, and of course he's robbing. And he has such a ridiculous story. Let him tell you the story. And Kinalach, the beggar told his story. I wasn't robbing. I was looking for my money that I buried. And the policeman says, isn't that ridiculous? Who goes to bury money in a basic forest? There was a person on top of a pile of garbage. He told me to go do it. Ha! This story is getting more ridiculous as it goes on. When did the person on top of a pile of garbage tell you to go bury your money? A few years ago, he told me that's where I should take my money because that's where people that gave up hope are. Everybody else should have hope in Hashem. And the policeman starts to laugh. And the judge and the mayor also started to laugh. And the policeman said, isn't that funny? And the mayor said, no, it's not funny. That's not why I'm laughing, because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's amazing. And the policeman starts scratching his head. What are you talking about? I thought it's funny. Isn't that why you're laughing? He says, no, I'm seeing a big special thing over here. That's why I'm laughing. It's amazing. Shh. Kinalach. The mayor says to the policeman, untie his hands and let him go free. This man is telling the truth. He's not making up a story. And the policeman, of course, scratches his head again. How could he be telling the truth? It's a ridiculous story. The mayor says, no, it's true. And I'll tell you how I know it's true. And he looks down at the beggar, he says, do you know who the man was that years ago was sitting on top of the pile of garbage? Do you know what happened to him? And the poor beggar says, no, I was over there by the pile of garbage. I didn't see him. I don't know what happened to him. And the judge, the mayor, points to himself. He says, that was me. I was sitting on top of that pile of garbage a few years ago. And I was the one that told you about having hope in Hashem, and those who gave up hope are in the basic forest. I remember it, so I know you were telling the truth. And you see, it's true what I said, because I went from the pile of garbage and I became the mayor of the city. Hashem helped me that over the years I was able to go from a pile of garbage to being the leader of the city. So you see, when you have trust in Hashem, Hashem helps you. Never give up hope. And Kinalach, now the poor man, was taken to the basic Faris. He dug up his money, they found it. And now Kinalach, he became happy, because not just because he had a lot of money, he started trusting in Hashem. And he says, Hashem will help. I should never give up my hope in Hashem. I'll be happy. And of course, he gave tzedakah to poor people. And he made people happy. And he himself got happy because he had trusting in Hashem. And that, Kinalach, is the Maaser.
Kinalach, today you were so kind. 5 minutes of an extra story. 5 minutes of an extra story.
There was, not so long ago, a chosen and a kala, a wedding, mazel tov. And about a year later, another mazel tov, a baby girl. Mazel tov, a baby girl. Now the doctor checks the baby girl in the hospital. Good news, everything is fine. You have a healthy baby girl. Oh, that's so wonderful. Shh. Now, I don't know if they said Baruch Hashem, because this couple, even though they're a Yidden, it doesn't seem that they were too much connected with Torah and mitzvahs. So they probably said, oh, that's great, that's wonderful. Or maybe, thanks to Hashem. I don't know if they said the words Baruch Hashem. And the baby goes back for another checkup. The baby is doing fine. The girl is a year old. 2 years old. The doctor says, this baby is doing just fine. Then it came time, the little baby girl is 3 years old. And the doctor is checking the different things the doctors check. And writing down this and writing down that. And the mommy saw the doctor seemed worried. She says, is anything wrong? Every other time you check the baby, you were so happy. You look very worried. The doctor said, I'm not sure what's going on over here, but there's something wrong. There is a problem. The last thing that parents want to hear from a doctor is that there's a problem. But the doctor was very worried. He says, I don't know what it is, but the baby is not developing properly. Shh. And the doctor said, we have to make some tests. We have to take the baby to the hospital. And we have to make some x-rays to see what's going on inside of the baby. Well, one of the tests in the hospital was an x-ray that shows what's going on inside of the baby and even inside of the baby's head. And they put up the pictures in front of the big light, and the doctor looks to see what's going on. And the doctor's face now was very worried and very serious. And the mommy said, what's the problem? What do you see? And the doctor said, this is not the kind of thing a doctor wants to tell a mommy, but I have to tell you this. I just found out the reason that the baby is not doing so well. There's something inside of the baby's head that should not be there, and we have to make a very, very serious operation. But I have to tell you, if we make the operation, even if we do, I don't know if it's going to help the baby. Hopefully it will, but I cannot promise. But one thing I could tell you, if we don't make the operation, The baby will not live more than a few weeks, and that's it. The baby has no chance. And Kenalach, when the mommy heard this, of course she starts to cry, because it's very sad news. And she now has to go home and tell her husband. And she's crying and she's going to her car. All of a sudden, one of her friends saw her. She was walking on that street and she saw her friend crying and crying, going into her car. And she runs over and she says, "What's wrong? Why are you crying?" And the friend told her what happened. Because after all, it's a friend. So she told her what's happening. And her friend said, "Don't even go home. I'll tell you where you should go even before you go home. There's a place called 770 Eastern Parkway in Brooklyn." Now, they were not in Brooklyn, but they were close by Brooklyn. She said, "Over there is a very special holy man." I don't know if she said the words Halakha Tzaddik, but she knew about a holy man, and people call him the Rebbe. He is the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he gives special blessings, brachas to people. "Why don't you go over there and see the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe?" And the woman never heard of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The mommy that was crying never heard of such a man. She said, "Well, is he another doctor?" "No, he's a great rabbi." "Well, what is a rabbi going to know about my child with a special thing inside of my child? He's not a doctor. He's not a doctor like the doctors, but he's a doctor like a neshama doctor. He's a holy man. Go to him. I'll take you. We'll go together." Now, Kinalak, listen to what happened. The two ladies are driving to Brooklyn. They go to 770, and somehow it was arranged to be able to see the Rebbe. I don't know if it was a dollar's day, or before a dollar's time, or a special meeting, or what it was. This is the way the story is written. They were able to see the Rebbe. And this is what the Rebbe told the mommy. Are you listening? The Rebbe told the mommy, "Everything will be just fine with your little girl, and you should not make the operation. But there's a condition." In other words, there's something that you have to do. "And if you do this thing, the baby will be fine even with without the operation. You don't have to make the operation." And of course the mommy says, "I'll do whatever you say, Rabbi." And the Rebbe said, "This little girl, when she goes to school, put her in a Lubavitch school. Only a Lubavitch school. And as she gets older, she should only go to one of the Lubavitcher schools. And you should never take her out of a Lubavitcher school. Only in a Lubavitcher school. And on this condition, if you do this, your baby will be fine. And she will not need the operation." Now, Kinalach, the mommy heard this, and of course, she was so happy. Of course, so surprised. Who can understand such a thing? But her friend explained to her, "You don't understand necessarily what the Rebbe says, but the Rebbe is giving you a blessing, and for your baby, a bracha." The story is not over yet. Now, the woman came home. She told her husband about what had happened. And of course, her husband was also very happy to hear the good news. And Baruch Hashem, they didn't have to pay so much attention to the bad news. But the doctor called because he wanted to make the operation as soon as possible. And he had not heard from the mommy or her husband. And they said, "We're not going to make the operation because we went to a holy man and he said we don't have to make the operation. And the doctor said, what? You have to make the operation. Your child needs the operation in order to live. And if you don't, the child will not live more than a few days. The mommy said, no, but this holy rabbi in Brooklyn said that we don't have to make the operation. We just have to put the child in the Lubavitcher schools. And the doctor screams, a rabbi? He's not a doctor. He doesn't know about these things and x-rays and tests and doctor things and operations. You have to listen to your doctor. And even the Torah, I don't know a lot of the Torah, but I know that the Torah says you have to listen to doctors. No, but the rabbi said we don't have to make the operation. Now this doctor got very upset. And he told the mommy, if you do not make the operation, you are doing something that's against the law, and I'm going to take you to the police, and I'm going to take you to a judge and to a court. Now, parents have to take care of the kinderlach. What if, chas v'shalom, the parents are not taking care of the kinderlach? This is actually against the law. And they can get in trouble, even with the police, if they're not doing the proper things to take care of the kinderlach. And the doctor says, in order to take care of your child, you have to make the operation. If you're not going to make the operation, you're not taking care of your child, and I'm going to take you to the police. And the woman said, but the Rebbe said not to make the operation. The doctor put down the phone. And later on, the police came. And the police said, you have to make the operation or else you're in trouble. Now how would you like to have police pull up in front of your house and tell you what to do, and if you're not listening to them, you're in big trouble? What are they going to do? Well, the woman decided that she's going to go back to the Rebbe. Because now she doesn't know what to do. She doesn't want the police to put her in jail and chas v'shalom take away the child to make the operation. That's what could happen. They could take away the baby, and even if she doesn't want, if the doctor says they'll have to make the operation, even if the mother says no, because the doctor says this is what you have to do. But they want to listen to the Rebbe. The woman took the baby to the Rebbe, with the baby. Now again, the story doesn't say what day it was, by dollars, whatever it was. This is the way the story says. And they went to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe put his hand on the baby's head. And the Rebbe said, there's nothing wrong with the baby. This is what you should tell the police and the judge. That they should do the tests over again. All the tests they did in the hospital, they should do over again. If they find something wrong, they'll make the operation. But if they don't find anything wrong, what's to make an operation about? There's nothing to operate. Kinderlach, this is what the Rebbe's answer was and what the Rebbe did. And now they took the baby home and the phone was ringing and the doctor was on the phone. He says, we have to make the operation or I'm going to send the police and we'll take away the baby to make the operation. And the woman said, the Rebbe said, do the tests again, and if you find a problem, you can make the operation. And the doctor says, of course we're going to find the problem. We took the x-rays and we found the thing in the head. The x-rays show like a picture of what's there. And it's an emergency. And the woman said, please do the tests again. They took the baby back to the hospital. The doctor was there. They again did the x-rays. They looked at the x-rays. Nothing was there. The doctor says, this is impossible. The x-ray is a picture. We just did it a couple days ago. Now we have the picture. But he looked at the first picture. The thing was there. The second picture, it wasn't there. It had disappeared. And Kinalag, this girl, is older now, and she's still in, of course, a Lubavitcher school. And the couple just had a little baby boy a few months ago. And this is the story. Okay, now, a long time ago, Rabbi Burstyn was in the country with my family. And we wanted to go and do something special that day, so we said, let's go to the farm. There was a farm, you can visit the farm, and the farmer shows you the chickens, and shows you the cows, and shows you all the different things growing on the farm, and the different, you know, fields, and the farmhouse, and the different farm machines, and tractors, and all kinds of fun stuff that you could see on a farm. Well, we saw the chickens, and we saw different, you know, things. And there was a big building. And we asked, what's in that big building? Well, the farmer says, over there are the cows. Well, there were no cows in the building. It was empty. And the farmer says, well, the cows are now in the field. And exactly 4:30, the cows come back from the field. They go to that building. And over there in that building, they get milked. Because, of course, milk comes from cows. And they go to that building, and they get milked. They have the machines and the people, who whatever goes on over there to milk the cows. The cows come from the field. They walk all the way to that building. And over there is going to be the milking, the afternoon milking of the cows. They're full of milk. After they eat all that delicious grass in the field, they give a lot of milk. Oh, it's almost 4:30. We'd love to see the cows coming back from the field. Well, we went over to the field, and all of a sudden we saw the cows coming back from the field. Now, it was very interesting to watch this. That's why I'm telling you about this. All of a sudden, I am seeing one long line of cows coming from the field with one or two people bringing them. And I said to myself, look. And I said to my family, look. The cows are going in a straight line. It's very interesting. Big animals. They're going in a straight line. They were going very nicely, and there was no pushing. I would have expected cows all of a sudden, a bunch of behemoths coming all together. No, they went in a straight line. And they were walking nicely, each one following the other. Not one was trying to get in front or to the side. I thought it was very interesting. But the story is not over yet. The cows are going to the building. I wanted to go see what goes on in the building. And I went over to the building. Now, the building was a long building, and there were two doors. It seems the cows were going to the other side of the building. I didn't think about this too much. And I saw that the closer side of the building was towards me, and there was a big door over there. So I said, I want to go and see in the building what the cows do. I was curious to see what the cows do in the building, or what they do to the cows in the building. Well, I went in the door, and I see a long building, and on each side are like little rooms, like a little stall it's called, but it's open. Like a little place. A lot of little rooms, open little rooms. And they're all open to one like long, like a hallway. Now they're not closed rooms, it's just like places. And I understood that each cow has its place. It's like a place for the cow to go. And over there, they're going to milk the cows. They had the machinery, they had the things. Each cow will go to his place, and they're going to milk the cows. And I wanted to watch this. And I started walking down this like hallway in between the places for the cows. And I think to myself, well, where are the cows? I thought they came into the building. All of a sudden, from the other side, coming towards me are all the cows. I'm standing in the middle. The cows are coming towards me. And I got afraid. Oh, look, all these cows, let's say 100 cows, are coming right towards me. Uh-oh, what's going to happen? They're going to chase me or something? So I quickly went the other way towards the door that I came in, because the cows came in the other door. And I watched the cows go to their places. And I saw a wondrous thing. That's why I'm telling you this. Even more wondrous than the cows going in a nice straight line. Each cow went to a certain place. A different cow went to a different place. And I expected, well, probably two cows will try to get into the same place, and there might be some cow fighting over there, or some cow pushing. And I noticed that each cow went exactly to a place. No other cow tried to go there. There was no pushing or shoving. There was no mix-up. It was all very masuder, very like organized. And each cow went to a place until the whole place was filled with cows, not one empty place. There were no cows standing around trying to get into some place. Each cow in his place. As if each one knew exactly where to go. Now, he didn't have his name on there like George the cow or Freddy the cow, but he should read his name. Cows cannot necessarily read names. But it's like each cow knew exactly where to go. And it was so masuder. There was no tumult over there. There's no pushing or anything. And I asked the farmer, how does each cow know where to go? And the farmer says, well, you should know something. Each cow goes to his place, each time exactly the same place, and they don't go to a different place. Whenever they come into the building, they go to exactly the same place. And how do they know? It's very interesting. Each cow smells his place. Now, how does he smell his place? They all smell like cows, don't they? No. Each cow smells differently. Now, we can't tell because they all smell like cows. But the cows can tell their own smell and somebody else's smell because their sense of smell, their nose works much in a higher way than ours. Like by a dog. I mean, I shouldn't say l'havdil, of course, but a dog is different than us. If a bad guy escapes from jail, and he runs into the forest, how are they going to catch him? They take a dog, a special doggy, into the jail, and the doggy will smell around, or they'll give him clothes that belong to the person, and they pick up that person's smell. Now, each person has a different smell. Even if you took a shower or in a bath and you scrubbed yourself with soap, each person, even if they're clean, has a different smell. And a dog, his nose works a million times better than our nose, and he can smell the difference between one person and another. And then the doggy starts chasing after the person, and they can smell where they are. Or each step they take, they can smell where they took a step. They can smell the step that they took in the forest, and you can't even see it, but they can smell it. The cow knows exactly his place by the smell. So, this is a story that I saw. Not a story, I saw this. The cows going exactly in a place. They're going to their place. Each one knew their place. And you're talking about groisa behemoths. Big animals. Yeah, you're talking about gigantic big animals. Most people think, animals, cows, vildachais. No. They went in a seder masuder. They went in an organized way. No pushing, no shoving. Each one knew his place. Now, when we Yiddish boys learning in Cheder, they go in a line in the hall and they go to their desks. Should there Chas Shalom be pushing and shoving and arguing about a place? And then they come into the room, Chas Shalom, pushing and shoving and running to a place? No. At least we should go as nicely as the cows. I mean, I don't usually say to the class, okay, boys, I want you to line up just like cows. Go into a line just like cows. But that's the truth. If the cows do that, shouldn't we be at least as good as the cows?
No. Yeah, be better than
maybe we should learn from the cows. Hashem, you know, Hashem put into nature, into cows, into animals, into things, lessons to learn. Like the Baal Shem Tov says, everything that you see or hear, you could learn a lesson in Avodas Hashem. I saw something from cows, behavior of cows. So I learned, if cows can go like this, shouldn't the boys in the class be able to at least go like this? Yes or no? Okay, so we learned something from cows.